from 9am on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Stack of texts and emails flying into the studio this morning, and rightly so, a very emotional issue. Let's get a further view on this from Martin Howe of Howe & Co Solicitors in London. Morning.
Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for your time this morning. Now, just to get some clarification, you're obviously helping the Gurkhas with their plight in the High Court, correct?
I am. So I represent the six test cases that are currently before the High Court.
Yeah.
But behind them, there's about 2,000 other men who are waiting for the outcome, then that will have an impact on their cases as well.
Okay, I mean, I was making this point at the beginning of this hour. I'm quite ashamed, actually, that we even have to have this conversation and this debate on the radio, because I think it should be a no-brainer. I think it's very simple. You serve, you fight for this country, you should be allowed to live here. And a lot of my listeners are coming through with the same point of view. Just walk us through the background to this case.
First of all, I agree with what you say there. It's a matter of national shame.
Yep.
That these men have to beg for the right to come into the country. But to go back through it, these are men who fought for the army. They were in the army on average for 15 years, mm-hmm. and they fought in campaigns such as Second World War, Borneo, Malaya, the Falklands War, the First Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
And they retired before the 1st of July 1997.
Yep.
Now, the significance of that date, or the so-called significance of that date, is that that is when Britain handed back Hong Kong to the Chinese.
Yep.
And the headquarters of the Gurkhas was moved from Hong Kong to Britain. Now, the weasel words that are being used to try and fight the men that actually fought for us, using weasel words of where the headquarters base is an important factor, is unimportant in my view. The significant point is that these men put the uniform on, assumed the risk, fought for the country, put their lives on the line for this country, and they should be allowed in for that alone. It's not a question of where's your headquarters based. It's a question of what you actually did. It's a question of substance, not some technical detail.
And, I mean, we have the British visa officers of various embassies, particularly the one in Nepal, saying that these gentlemen do not have strong ties to the United Kingdom. What can be stronger than being prepared to lay down your life for this country?
Well, you're preaching to the converted, eh? I agree with you. If our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan currently, amongst whom are Gurkhas, would anyone ever say that they do not have a strong tie to this country? They protect us, they defend our rights, they're out there looking after our interests.
Yep.
And you can do no more than serve in the services to protect the country. I mean, it's outrageous, actually. I mean, I think at the end of the day, this comes down to small-minded money decisions that have been made by the Ministry of Defence, and it really is small-minded and affects a small number of people.
Mm.
You know, we've had 1 million immigrants that came in from Eastern Europe over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
Now, I mean, that might be right, and I'm not opening up the debate on whether, you know, that type of immigration is correct or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about perhaps 4,000 or 5,000 Gurkhas, that is such a small, an insignificant number in comparison to the people that we actually have allowed in. And the significant difference is this: these men have actually fought for the country,
yep.
have defended the country,
yep.
their comrades have died for the country.
Yep.
45,000 Gurkhas have died over history. I mean, the Gurkhas have been part of the British Army for 200 years. This is not some newfangled idea. These people and their forefathers, their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers have all been part of the British Army. 150,000 have been significantly wounded fighting for Britain. And we turn around here and say, you're not welcome in here. You're good enough to die for us,
yep.
but you're not good enough to live amongst us.
It's
that
a disgrace.
Is shameful. That
it is a shameful. It really
reality.
Is. And it's embarrassing that we even have to have this conversation, as I made the point earlier. I'm getting some texts and emails coming in from people wanting to know what they can do to help. I mean, obviously, there was the High Court case, and we're still waiting for an outcome on that. I'll ask you a bit more about that. But is there anything that you know, people listening to this can do to actually support the Gurkhas?
They can. I mean, my firm, we are conducting a two-pronged attack on this. The first, obviously, is a head-on legal challenge to the policy relating to these men.
Okay.
We're saying it's an unlawful policy that these people are kept out.
Yep.
And that decision will be before us within the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I must say that the government fought that case tooth and nail. There's no sort of easy route through on this. So the second route that we're pursuing is a political route.
Okay.
And really, this government is so out of step with the people on this question, it is unbelievable. I mean, there is 99.99% of people support the Gurkhas' right to be here.
Yeah.
It seems there's only a few people in government that are against it. So your listeners can do two things. They can get on to their local MP, write to their local MP, show their disgust on this question, mm-hmm. and bombard the local MPs with letters asking for the Gurkhas to stay here.
Okay.
Secondly, there is a website, vchero.co.uk. I'll say that again, vchero.co.uk. You can go on that website, and there's a link on that website through to the Downing Street website. And you can show your disgust at what's going on by supporting the Gurkhas' rights to be here on the Downing Street petition that's on the website.
OK, what we'll do as well, we'll actually put a link on our City Talk website and a recording of your and I, our interview as well, so that way people can listen to it again, click through and get involved in the petition. You mentioned we've got a couple of weeks to go until we get an outcome on the recent case. You mentioned that the government fought this quite hardly. Why are they digging their heels in?
You know, on first blush, it's almost impossible to understand.
Yeah.
If this were a battle for the hearts and minds of people, this was a battle won a long time ago.
Mm.
But in the case, first, the government starts off by saying we've got no documents to relate to it. And then when we went to the High Court and forced their hand, all of a sudden 2,000-odd documents appear.
Well, there's a surprise.
And when you work your way through those, you'll see that the Ministry of Defence is trying to keep these men out because they're concerned that if they come here, they might ask for an equal pension with other soldiers. Well, that's a different argument for a different day. And I also don't say that it naturally follows that if you get settlement rights, that will come. But that it's that sort of financial thinking that's in behind it.
Okay. You obviously talked to, and you will have met, a number of Gurkha veterans looking after, well, dealing with this case. What do they think about this? When you talk to them, you know, when you're not on the radio and you talk to them one-to-one, what are they saying? What are they thinking?
I've been honoured and privileged to go out to Nepal on a couple of occasions to meet these men and their widows, the widows of men that have previously died, and the families. These are people that are full of integrity. That's the starting point. These are people not looking for handouts, but these are people looking for recognition of what they have contributed to the life of this country. So, I mean, Gurkhas are quite stoic. They are not people that carp. These are not people that moan.
Mm.
For them to protest is a massive cultural issue. But in this case, men have actually handed their medals back to the ministries because to show how deep the hurt is. Mm. And that's the real question. These people feel abandoned. They feel hurt. They feel thrown out on a waste heap. They feel as if they've been used. And that is so sad. Because, and remember this, that the men that are currently fighting for the right to come to this country have nephews and brothers and sons currently serving out in Afghanistan and Iraq. And what is the Ministry of Defence? What's the message that the Ministry of Defence is giving to the men that are currently fighting for them? You know, you're good enough to be in our army and die for us, but your forefathers, your uncles, your fathers, your grandfathers, we don't want them. It is an outrageous situation.
It's disgusting. It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool, just turned 9:30 Tuesday morning. We're talking to Martin Howe of Howe & Co. Solicitors in London, who's taking up the legal case on behalf of the Gurkhas who wish to settle here. I mean, the campaign, if you like, the cause has also received, I actually think, some, you know, very unique celebrity support here, because, you know, when you work in this industry, Martin, it's very easy for celebrities to go, I'll support X, Y, and Z. But in the case of Joanna Lumley, it's really a personal campaign, isn't it?
It is. And lest anyone think that it's anything but that. Throw that out the window. Joanna has put her time, her efforts, her tireless time and efforts into this campaign, and has done it simply because she believes it's right. Now, one man that was actually originally refused entry to the country, was a man called Tul Bahadur Pun. And he won the Victoria Cross out in Burma on the 23rd of June, 1944. I mean, it's an amazing story. If you ever get the chance to look at it, you can go on the web and look up Tul Bahadur Pun. But essentially, he rushed a Japanese machine gun post in the absolute face of death. All the men around him had been killed or seriously wounded. They're all on the ground. The only one man left standing was this 21-year-old man, Tul Bahadur Pun Viti. He picked up a Bren gun, rushed the Japanese machine gun post, took out the eight men that were in there, laid down fire, and brought the platoon through to win a significant battle in Burma. It was the first battle, in fact, that the Allies had won. But during the course of that battle, Tul Bahadur Pun Viti also saved the lives of many British soldiers, including, at the time, Captain Lumley. He went on to be a major. So this man actually saved the life of Joanna Lumley's father. And for that, she is, you know, understandably grateful and humbled and has lent her support fantastically to this cause. Remember that Joanna herself was born in India.
Yep.
So was her father. Her father was an officer in the Gurkhas, and she was a Gurkha child as such. So she fully understands what the cultural issues are, and she fully understands the importance of the recognition of their contribution to the men and people who live in Nepal.
Okay, my final question would be, the outcome of the court case we expect in around a fortnight. Actually, two questions. One, will you come back on the show and actually walk us through the outcome? And two, if it's a negative outcome and we don't get what we want, what happens next?
Well, first, I'd be delighted to come back on and talk to you and to tell the people who are listening what actually happened. Secondly, this battle is not over. The Gurkhas have never given up, and don't you worry, their lawyers aren't giving up. So if this matter is not resolved within the next 2 weeks, the next place will be the Court of Appeal. And if it has to go further than that, it will go further. Now, men are dying. I mean, I have had seven clients, at least, who have died since this case has started, waiting for their court case to come on. And I say at least seven, because many of these men who want to come here seriously need medical help that they can't get in Nepal. Nepal is about the second or third poorest country in the world, unfortunately. And it does not have anywhere near the medical facilities that they do have here in the UK. Now, these men need that help, but they're in very remote areas of Nepal, very often up, you know, mountains, significant thousands of feet up mountains. They don't have telephones, they don't have email, they don't have a postal system. So we know that seven have died, but maybe more have died. So whatever is going to happen, if the case is negative for us in 2 weeks' time, the fight will go on, and we'll ask the court again to expedite it so that we get to a positive decision as soon as is possible for these men.
All right, Martin, thank you for your time this morning, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. That's Martin Howe of Howe & Co Solicitors.
The Duncan Barks Show, weekdays from 9 a.m. on City Talk 105.9.